We've been in kind of a different series. It's been kind of like you would read a book, you know, and you go through certain chapters, but we spent, 4 or 5 weeks on your work, God, and others, and we've talked about your play, because God's not against play, God and others, and now we're talking about your rest, God and others. Again, one of the biggest hindrances to rest in our lives for so many of us is that we think we haven't yet got enough of the work done. There's too much work to be done. I can't take a break. I can't stop. I can't rest. No. But look at this verse with me again. Exodus chapter 34, verse 21. The Lord says, 6 days you must labor. In other words, fit all your work into 6 days. But on the seventh day you shall rest. Notice this now. Even during the plowing season and harvest. In other words, when things are really busy, you still must rest. We're going to end the sermon today on a story, but I'm going to tell you one as best as I can remember it, because I obviously didn't plan on sharing this one with you. But it's a similar one, but it'll make its fuller impact later on. But even with animals, it's because God said to his people that even your animals, you're supposed to let them rest on the seventh day. And obviously, we're going to go back in time, because when a lot of labor was done by animals for plowing and other purposes, there was a certain mining business, I believe it was, that used donkeys to carry heavy loads back and forth. And somebody began to experiment with this even at that time, and found out that if you worked the animals 7 days a week, they could only average about 30 pounds a load. That's about all they could do the whole time. If you gave them that one day rest, it more than doubled what they could do. Rest is something that God has built into the fabric of creation. And as created beings by God, we'll do wise to listen. Now, we're going to be reading some verses that talk about the Sabbath. And let me just reiterate what we talked about last week, a little portion of last week, is that we are not under the law of the Sabbath. But the principle of the Sabbath is still very valid. Okay? So we're going to read some verses, and some of you think, man, that's nuts. Some of you are already thinking, a whole day of doing nothing, rest? Am I on vacation or what? You know? Because that just doesn't happen in my life. And last week, you know, I know there's some workaholic men, but I just know you ladies at home. You've just got too much to do. And as I said last week, men, this is why she could look at you and with looks kill you when you're sitting down and she's still up and around working. There's nothing more dangerous, men, for you to do is to sit down in your nice chair and turn on the TV while she's still working and running around, because it just doesn't feel right. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to say anything more on that. you have to go listen to last week. Anyway, so we're talking about the Sabbath principle of rest. I think the key for us today is knowing, because so many times we say, well, but this is an exception. This is a deception. This is the planting season. This is the harvest season in my life. There's just stuff to do. It's an exception. But you need to be honest with yourself. You need to look at your situation. And if the exception has become the rule, it's not an exception anymore. It's a lifestyle. And some of you are in a lifestyle of never resting. Just work, work, work. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whatever, you're just constantly going. It takes faith to rest. In other words, okay, God, I don't see how this is going to work. There's too much to be done. There's too much left undone. If it doesn't get done, my whole world's going to fall apart. Yeah, right. I know you think that, but to trust God enough that we will no longer live our lives offbeat. And we think that by resting, we will lose. Something will be undone. We'll lose out. But when you live by faith, God, you said this, and I don't understand how it's going to work, but I trust you. So I will engage in the principle of the Sabbath in my life. You will find that God, in fact, will make up the difference. Often we will only find that he's more than enough for us when we take the time to rest and reflect. And remember, that is the principle of the Sabbath. When God created, he finished all creation. It says the seventh day he rested, but it just wasn't that he sat down and rested. He reflected, right? He looked at all that he'd made and saw that it was good. What do? We sit down, okay, I'm going to sit here just for a minute, and we start reflecting. Oh, I didn't do this right. This needs some more, and we see that it's not good enough. And then we want to go back at it. Leviticus 25, verse 18. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year? In other words, if we take the seventh year, not just the seventh day, but you see, there were days, there were months, there were years involved in this Sabbath that they were committed to in the Old Testament. What will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? The Lord says, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. This is one of these Jesus multiplying lunch again kind of things. God will make a way. You may not see how, but do you want to live your life totally by what you can see how it'll work out? I don't, because I know I'm very finite. I can't see it all. I'm not infinite like God, and I need God's help a lot. So what this is saying is that if we will commit to living by faith, that is incorporating and prioritizing God's way of living into our lives, okay, he will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And he will bring blessing that nothing else can. For example, there's times that people who want to pursue God's ways financially, they can have questions about the biblical tithe, giving 10%. And some see themselves, you know, oh, wow, this is what the word says. Man, I can't give 10%. So I've occasionally explained to people that if their heart is to pursue God's ways, then start the process by becoming a percentage giver. You may not see how you can give 10% right now, but if you purpose in your heart and you'll start giving 3, 4, 5% to begin with, then ask God to help you to increase and then watch what he does. If you make this an endeavor of faith, trusting him from your heart and not making it merely a financial transaction in your heart and mind, God will honor your faith. And he'll honor that desire in you to pursue his pathways of blessings in your life. So similarly, when we're talking about the Sabbath, you say, okay, Pastor, sounds good to me. I'm ready for rest. I want to incorporate Sabbath times of rest and reflection into my life, but I'm overscheduled, I'm overextended. How can I do this? And this is what I want to share with you today, because you got to start somewhere. You got to start with something. Stop looking. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, God looks, and we need to agree with God in this and get on the same page with God. Instead of looking at what you don't have and what you think you can't do, start looking at what you do have and what you can do. Start with what you have. How many times do we read in Scripture, the man of God, the prophet of God, the Lord himself said, what do you have? What's in your house? What's in your hand? Moses says, I got a stick. The widow woman says, well, all I've got is this little jar of oil. That's all I've got. Start with what you have and what you can do and watch what God will do when you trust him. Okay? So I want to talk to you this day about incorporating rest and reflection in your life with Sabbath moments. You can start this process of rest and reflection by incorporating Sabbath moments into your day. Discovering the benefits, as I'm about to explain, of these moments will help you seek and find more time in your life for them. Now, Sabbath moments include primarily three elements. Okay, let me just give them to you and then we'll go through them. It's pause, reflection, and renewal. Pause, reflection, and renewal. All right, first one is pause. In every Sabbath moment that you would take, you learn to pause, to stop what you're doing. This means that you intentionally, not just waiting to see if it happens upon you, if it comes your way, well, if it shows up in my face, then I'll do it. No, you've got to intentionally find moments for this purpose. You know what? Hang on, brace yourselves. It may mean turning off your phone, turning off the iPad, your computer, the TV, and other distractions in your life. Turn them off, get away from them for a short period of time. No input is the key. No input is the key. It's just you and the Lord. Listen, you may have to lock yourself away in the bathroom, at work or at home, to escape the constant barrage for a few moments. Now, in this moment, you see what I do? I take a deep breath, turn my attention to the Lord, and become thankful for your life. This is where a Sabbath moment begins. You can't be hating your life, curse it, and then believe that God will bless what you're cursing. Can I give you an illustration about me from yesterday? See, all's not rosy at my house either. We had grandkids over, spent the night. Wonderful time, great. But there come a point in time when the parents said they need to go to bed by this time. And in this moment of chaos, because, no, that's just 5 more minutes, you know, all the things that happen with, you know, kids, grandkids, it's just, and so we try to be good grandparents. Okay, you want 5 minutes, we'll give you 10, all right, you know. But Sarah and I were not on the same page. And when leadership is not on the same page, guess what happens? You know, all chaos breaks out. And then you find that division comes in between the two of you because, wait a minute, I thought we said we're doing this. No, I thought we were doing this. And confusion, not knowing. And it didn't get any better in the morning. And I won't go into the reasons why, but here I am. I've got one grandchild crying. He's upset and we're in the car and he's thinking one thing and that's not happening. And I employed a Sabbath moment. Lord, I thank you for my life. Seriously, Lord, I thank you for my wife, my family. And these opportunities to have a sleepover with the kids doesn't happen that often. And it's not going, I mean, 90% of it was great, but there was just these times that just, you know, things went a little haywire. But Lord, I thank you for my family. I can't tell you, I'm about to explain to you what happened on the inside of me then at that point. And the Lord began to talk to me about ways to approach this to make it so this is less likely to happen next time. He'll talk to you in those moments, okay? Now, after you pause for a moment and you become thankful for your life, you begin to reflect. This is a time of reflection. Focus on the big picture. And this is where it helps to be in God's Word, okay? To be in God's Word. But you think on things like from these verses from the 138th Psalm. Verse 1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Notice this, before the gods, I will sing your praise. Now, let's just move it here to contemporary. The gods of the world are what? They include things like power, money, prestige, just the whole thing. But the psalmist is telling us is that before these things that the world is demanding of us, that keeps us busy and spread so thin, we don't have time to think about life, about family, in ways that we need to be thinking about them. Rest and reflection to make it, because listen, anything that you're not giving, not emergency attention to, maintenance attention to, now come on, isn't that how too many of us spend our lives thinking about our family? Oh, there's an emergency, I better think about this. Oh, well, let's try to keep our heads above water here with the family and the kids and everything, and it's just maintenance thinking. But if you want family or anything in your life to be something more than that, you're going to have to give it more time and reflection than just that. If you want something to grow, a bare minimum of water, oh, maybe I ought to raise the shade so this plant can get some light. Huh, it's looking a little withered there. Come on, stand up here. If you want the plant to grow, you're going to have to be more intentional with it. But see, the world demands our time to be put in so many different places. We don't have time to think about anything except what the world demands. And the psalmist is saying, before the gods, I'm going to declare your praise, Lord. I'm going to sing about you. I'm going to turn to you and your ways. And I'm going to give them priority in my life. Life is too short. So many of you here today, you're younger than I am. I'm telling you. Life is short. I know you think you're in the thick of it now and you're on the fast track and so forth, but if you will stop and put the priority of Sabbath, the principle of Sabbath in your life of rest and reflection, your life will be so much better because the Lord will speak to you in those times and He will make a way where you don't think there is a way. Anyway, He says, before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and I'll praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Notice what happens. When I called, in other words, taking that Sabbath moment, you answered me and you made me bold and stout-hearted. Confidence. That's the number one thing so many of God's people are missing today. Confidence. Confidence that knowing that I'm on the right track, that the things that I do are going to count and that they're going to advance the ball in my life. But we don't do it. We just think, well, I hope this works out. The world says if we do this, this is the way you get there. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. I believe that. Think on things like Acts 17:26. From one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Revelation 3:20, you know it, but read along with me. Jesus says, "Here I am." Woohoo! Oh, here I am. I stand at your door. I stand at the door and knock. If anybody, please, hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Now, this has been put in the context of saving. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, wanting to come in, turn your life over to Jesus, and that's fine, appropriate. But I do want to point out, it's okay to use it that way, but you understand he's knocking at the door of a church. Revelation 3:20, he's talking to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And he's saying, "Hello, church, can I come in?" Because we get ourselves so busy, doing so much. The Lord has to come knock on the door of our life. And sometimes we don't hear it. We don't acknowledge it. "Lord, I'll be right there. I'm busy right now. Got stuff to do." You know how it is. No matter what's going on in your life, Jesus comes to you, wanting you to slow down with him. He's not coming to say, "Hey, let's get busier. Come on, you lazy bum. Let's pick up the pace here. Don't you know that the world is dying and time is short and busy, busy, busy?" No. He says, "Let's come in. Let's sit together. Let's eat and let's talk." God and your Savior Jesus is not who you've put in your mind that he is, always chastising you, telling you need to be doing more. He wants you to slow down. Let him strengthen you, direct you, give you peace, hope, and confidence. Use these Sabbath moments to reflect on the fact that there is more going on than you can see. That's getting the big picture. That God is at work in your life. Through your life. Your life is on purpose. God knew you would be here. You might have been a surprise to your parents, but God knew you were coming. Okay? Your life is on purpose, and God is with you. He wants to come in and show you that your life, your daily grind life, every part of your life matters to him. He will rest and reflect with you and show you things. Reflect on verses like 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning verse 7. Notice this. Paul says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of this passing great revelation, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan." People want to debate today in theological circles. Whoa, what was it? Was Paul have a sickness? We're going to read through here and you'll not find the word sickness anywhere. No, he says what it is. A thorn in the flesh. It's a messenger from Satan. End of discussion. To torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace, my help, the ability that I provide you is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm made strong." Notice carefully. He says he's boasting about weaknesses and in weaknesses, not for them. Okay? Now hear me carefully. Whatever God's given you to do, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you live, listen, I want you to understand, I have come to understand, and it's taken me years, that the time that I spend with family is just as important to God as when I'm standing here this morning. And it's the same with you. Your time spent with your family is just as important to God as the work He's given you to do. So when others are driving you crazy, stop and reflect on the bigger picture and ask the Lord for His grace, His strength, where you are weak and want to explode on these people all around you with your anger, your wrath. This is where, in your weakness, you can receive strength by taking a Sabbath moment to get away, pause, reflect, and rest from your fleshly nature's desire to react in a wrong way, which ultimately will be self-defeating. As you approach any Sabbath moment, you pause, you reflect, but listen to me. Once you start reflecting, you stay there. Stay there in that moment until you sense renewal. Renewal taking place on the inside. The world may be chaotically spinning all around you, but when you experience, you sense God renewing, changing you, that there's a release, that there's peace coming into you. You stay there until that begins to happen. And when you wait there upon the Lord and you become thankful, I promise you, it does not take long. Yesterday in the car, taking that Sabbath moment, the peace that came into my heart, the change, the renewal that began to take place, I began to see everybody and everything differently. When renewal is taking place inside you, this happens when you receive strength to do the righteous thing, the right thing in the situation. Remember, book of James chapter 4 tells us that our wrath, the wrath of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. So the question is, why do we still spew it out on other people? Because it's not going to make things right. Pause and reflect with gratitude for your life, that you are making a contribution to the kingdom of God by reflecting, spending time with the Lord, because He cares about what happens in your family, at work, at school. Be thankful that you have a job. And for those of you that are married and do have families, or you have families, you know, thank the Lord for your family, for your kids. Because I can tell you this, young parents, the noise, the fighting, the screaming in the car, while not pleasant at the moment, you need to reflect on the fact that in just a few short years, your car will be empty, and the sound of that silence will be louder than the noise you're hearing right now. I'm telling you, been there, done that. Thank God for the bathroom stall or the broom closet that you've entered into at work or wherever, just for that Sabbath moment, transforming this place into a holy place where you're meeting with the living God. If your marriage or any relationship needs renewal, bring Sabbath moments into it. Something you got to do intentionally. Pause, not allowing the negativity that's been happening to enter your mind. Push that aside, but rather welcoming the Lord. It's not that you're ignoring or denying if there's issues that need to be, but you're welcoming the Lord into this moment. Because obviously, you haven't figured it out. And that's why you need the Lord's help. And He will help you, I promise. He's wanting and waiting, anxious to help you. Standing at the door, knock, let me in, come on. Listen, your gratitude and thanksgiving for what you do have will, again, I have to just say about it. What it does for me is it begins to drown out my gratitude, thanksgiving, expressing that even out loud. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for my wife. I thank you for my family, all of them, and everything that you've given to me. It will drown out the whininess in me about what I don't have and what I'm not getting. And Lord, you know. You see, what we do not tolerate in our children, we will tolerate in ourselves. Oh, talk about the hypocrisy. Okay, that's too harsh. The irony of the moment. We will listen to ourselves whine on the inside about all this. And you need to put a stop to that. It's not that you don't have legitimate things there, but whining about it is not going to help you. Letting the Lord come and bring peace and confidence about the direction, the things that you need to do, the things you need to change. Okay, Lord, change my heart, oh God. Oh, I'm getting a text message. That beep over there was not that. Mine just buzzed, okay. Reflect upon God's love for you and in you. In other words, a reservoir to minister to others. Reflect with gratitude that God cares about your relationship as much as he does of what evangelists and missionaries are doing. Because he does. Give thanks for your husband and wife, that you're married to his son or daughter, and that you both are heirs together, as Peter talks about in 1 Peter. Got a whole series of messages due on the heirs together, the grace of life. You're on the same team. You're to partner in this and trying to do this separately. Being in the same room and trying to do your own thing, it's not, you're not getting the help you need from God. You're partnering in this. Oh, well, I can't go there right now. It's God has ordained and blessed rest. God has ordained and he blesses rest. The Sabbath. These moments, it provides something that you cannot get from prayer. It provides something that you cannot get from singing or Bible study. Not that any of these things don't have their own anointing and resulting blessing. They do, but they are not substitute for each other. Again, one of the biggest hindrances to rest is the fact that the bottom line is we don't believe God about the worth, the value of rest in our lives. What we believe is that we have to produce and produce more and more all the time. But you know what? We need to repent. That just means turn around and go a different direction. Hopefully the direction you choose will be toward the Lord and his word. You see, turning to the Lord, to the voice of him and his word, that's the key to gaining confidence. One last verse, Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, using a dull axe requires great strength. So stop, take time, sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. Okay, I told you we were going to end with another story. This guy's name is Frederick Taylor. He worked for a large steel mill during the Spanish-American War in 1898. Okay? He was an ambitious young executive who was one of the first to apply scientific methods, as then known, to study the productivity of manual labor. And in 1898, there was a lot of manual labor. Okay? In those days, there were no cranes to pick up and load steel bars onto railroad cars. It was back-breaking manual work. And after some experimentation, Taylor concluded that the men could do more work if they took rest pauses at definite intervals. So he induced some of the workers, he persuaded them, to try his new method. He offered them $1 more a day. Now we think, what? But $1 more in 1898, that's a little bump, okay? And he flattered them by calling them his high-priced men. Under this system, a whistle was blown after the men had carried iron for 12 minutes. At the whistle, they were to sit down and rest. After 3 minutes rest, the whistle was blown again as a signal for the men to resume work. Here's the results. You ready for this? Normally, these men, just in a regular work day, they could carry iron and load it onto a railroad cart. They could get 12 and a half tons done in a day. By going and having these Sabbath intervals throughout their day, it went from 12 and a half tons to 47 tons a day. Big jump. And here you are, here I am, thinking if I just work harder, faster, longer, I'll get more done. It's self-defeating. By the way, the story goes on to say this seeming miracle ushered in the era of rest pauses, the forerunner of today's coffee breaks, which they don't call them coffee breaks anymore, do they? It's just you get a break at work, right? Yeah, it's in rest and reflection, those Sabbath moments, that we begin to regain an accurate, an appropriate, a proper perspective, and open ourselves up to receiving the life that is more abundant, that Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. But you got to do it His way. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, You're the Lord of the Sabbath. Rest is a part of the rhythm of life. So Lord, help us to move beyond just hearing thoughts about these patterns of living, and help us, Lord, to practice them, to live them as an action, an act of faith, because we trust and believe You. Father, help us, because if we can actually begin to do this, we will create a revival in the arena of our influence. If we look at work and rest and play according to a biblical perspective, people will be impacted by the influence of our lives, and as a result, they will want to know more about what's happening in our lives, an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. This morning, if you're here, you're watching online, and you've never opened your heart and life to Jesus Christ, there is a heaven, there is a hell. I'm sorry, but that's just it. And each of us get to decide where we're going to spend life beyond this life. And yet God offers eternity with Him as a free gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to deserve it. It's not about becoming a church member. It's not even about being baptized. These are things that Christians do. They become church members. They get baptized after they enter into a life, a new life with Jesus Christ, a change on the inside, being what the Scripture says, born again. If you've never taken that step of faith, but today you're saying, yes, I'm opening my life to Jesus to come in and make me new. I have confidence where I'm going to spend eternity. If that's you, or you say, Pastor, I've received Jesus, but I've been away from God. But today I know I need to come back to Him, because His ways are perfect and mine are a little messy right at the moment, and I know I need to come back to Him. Either one of those things or not. Everyone, would you pray this aloud and together after me? Something inside me convinces me that there is more from You, Lord, more to be understood and experienced and lived from Your hand. I say yes to Jesus. Come into my life. I want to follow You. into everything that you have for me. I declare that you are in charge of my life. Have your way in me. In the name of Jesus. Amen.